You're listening to Not Many of You Should Become Teachers, a podcast that explores the world of K-12 education as it intersects with the Christian faith. You might call us extreme moderates. We're skeptics who try not to be cynics and are allergic to cheap rhetoric. Welcome to the show. Oh, how exciting. Another episode of Not Many of You Should Become Teachers. And we're joined by another one of my colleagues from our school that we teach at in the middle school. I think the last time we were joined by a middle school colleague was when Tim Cavey was here. And I'm just happy to join Angela Fulbrand. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi. Thanks, guys.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. So what is it that you teach and what's up with that?
All right. So I teach grade 7 in the middle school. It's very fun. I have a wonderful class. I teach PE and everything else except for French and band. We have exciting days. I don't know.
What else? Passionate about health, outdoor ed?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I like to take them on hikes, make them climb up mountains. They get really upset at me because we have to work really hard. What else? Yeah, PE, health. We learned about nutrition.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
That's awesome. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for sharing. We are going to talk today all things Harry Potter, which is a controversial topic, but like I was going to say, which is a controversial topic from 10 years ago or something like that, because it's not the same conversation as it used to be.
Yeah.
I think Dave, I don't want to put words into Dave's mouth, but which I do very often, but I think you once said that your last experience with Harry Potter was at a prayer, like a condemnation circle or something. Do you want to share a bit about that?
Wow. Oh, boy.
So I won't actually name the church community that this was. And this certainly is about 12 years ago. I was invited by a friend of mine who was attending that church at the time. Mm-hmm. And he wanted me to help play keys background. They were doing an all-night prayer vigil for a bunch of stuff. And this is good. Christians should pray without ceasing, pray any time of the day. But this was 3 a.m, and we were scheduled from 3 till 4 a.m, I think. And somebody got up in the middle of the service, and it was, the whole thing was kind of spontaneous, but this one was a moment of praying against a whole bunch of stuff, and it quickly turned into Harry Potter.
Wow.
And just, it was somebody screaming into a microphone for half an hour at 3:30 in the morning against Harry Potter. So that is the kind of the extent of my experience with that. Not that I have, and this is what we'll get into, right? I've not actually read the books, and I have full true confession here, and I've not seen anything. And it's not out of any moral conviction.
Right.
It's just, it's not been my thing. But that will make it interesting as we have this conversation.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So tell us your background. Were you allowed to read Harry Potter? When did you start reading Harry Potter? All that stuff. So how about you just give us the story?
Yeah. Okay. So I grew up in a Christian home, and my parents were fairly conservative. And Harry Potter just wasn't something I was interested in, because I had grown up thinking that witches and wizards were not things that Christians should be interested in or pursuing, and that sort of thing. And I guess when they were coming out, I wasn't really connected with online and internet and like looking things up so much. So I had no interest. Fast forward many years, my now sister-in-law is a librarian and loves Harry Potter. And so she probably in like the mid-2000s gave me the audiobooks on CD and said, "You should listen to these. I think you'd like them." And I was like, maybe, I'll see. And then my parents ended up getting all of the book or the movies as a gift from her for Christmas. And I wasn't interested yet, even though her and my brother were really into it. And then I guess one day I was bored, going on a long drive, and thought I'd pull out one of the discs, shove it in, and see if I liked it. And I loved it. And it just started this like desire in me to read all of the books. I think I've read them now 3 times, and I've watched all of the movies. I play board games of Harry Potter. I did bring one of them along today. Trivial Pursuit's very fun. But I guess I came from a place of not knowing about it to a place of just seeing the incredible story that they are, the incredible world that J.K. Rowling creates, and I just fell in love with the characters and the plot, and I love the themes of friendship and sacrificial love, and yeah, so they're my favorite books. So that was my background and how I got to where I am now.
That's wonderful. Thanks for sharing just some of that journey. Maybe just to highlight for us, sort of unpack some of those themes that you said that drew you into the Harry Potter world, or the world that is created mm-hmm. in it. What is it that keeps you there, or that like you read them three times?
Right. Okay. So one of the biggest things I love about it, and I don't know, maybe this is a spoiler, but you haven't read them yet. I just love that. The way to defeat Voldemort, so the evil character, is for Harry to give up his own life, to sacrifice himself for the good of his friends and his community, in order to truly defeat the evil in that world. And I think just maybe the part of like my Christian upbringing and the belief that like Jesus sacrificed himself for us, it just really connects with that for me. And so I love that part. And then I also really appreciate the friendships between Ron and Harry and Hermione, and how they go through rough patches, but they work through them together and they learn from them and they grow stronger and closer. And by the end, when like after all the things that they go through, as soon as the books and movies end, it's kind of sad because like your friendship with them kind of dies and you can't continue on to see what their lives look like, just because she creates them so well and they're so real and believable.
I have a bit of a follow-up question. So I think that the big issue that some people still have with Harry Potter, though, is that like they say, okay, like that sounds very nice, the friendships, mm-hmm. and they win in the end, that's awesome, but they're wizards. I'm wagging my finger that no one can see, but how could you learn from these wizards? You know what I mean? Like, so okay. How do you not, because I don't want to say that you see past that, because that's what. Right. I don't think that's the case for you.
Yeah.
But how would you respond to someone that would wag their finger and say like, you can't learn from wizards because the Bible says that they're bad?
Okay. So the first thing, I will say one thing I don't like about the book is that they call Hogwarts the school of witchcraft and wizardry. I don't like that that's the title of the school. It kind of bugs me a little bit because I don't really see it that way. I view the characters as people with magical powers. They have a magic wand. I don't see them as people worshiping evil. In the world of Harry Potter, you have good and evil, and the majority of the people choose to do good, but there are some who choose wrong. And so I just view them as very much human people with a little accessory that gives them some powers, like levitate a feather or turn off the lights. Like, I don't view their magic as coming from like an evil source, if that makes sense.
So would it be fair, again, this is a question almost out of ignorance, would it be fair to call magic in the series, like it allows for things to happen in the storyline,
right,
that couldn't happen otherwise?
Yes, I would say that. Yeah. I don't think it's not like they're just drawing on, well, Voldemort uses evil spells to create evil things. And then they use good spells to do good things, like to bake a cake or to clean the house. You can get it all to do itself by just waving your wand around.
I've seen that part of the movie.
It's quite fantastic.
I think what I've resonated, actually, this is something that you said much earlier that I meant to draw on, is that you love that we see death, like the death of a loving character, as a way of conquering evil. And in many ways, that juxtaposes the gospel in such a vivid way when we see that Christ's death is breaking through death and evil, mm-hmm. and that he's victorious. And I think it is hilarious sometimes to think that there is really no truth and there's nothing to learn because these people are wizards, when really what the things that you have pointed out are almost Christ-like, right? Mm-hmm. Which is, I find that fascinating.
on references that you say are minimal in some cases. You do allow Harry Potter books in your room. They're part of your class library. Mm-hmm. Tell us a bit about that and how does that work with students?
Okay, so a couple of years ago, some high school students were collecting books to donate to middle school classrooms. I'm not sure why they were doing it. So there was a cart sitting in his office and I saw Harry Potter on it and all the books were there. And I was very excited and asked who was going to receive those books. And he was uncertain if we were going to be able to give out those books at first, but then he decided to give them to me because I was a very avid Harry Potter fan and he knew this. So I guess at the beginning of the year, I let parents know at Meet the Teacher Night, and I let my kids know that I have a class library, that there are an assortment of age-appropriate books there for them to read, that they're not all Christian, that they, like some of them may have different storylines that some parents don't think are appropriate yet for their child, or they just would prefer not to have them in their house. So I encourage parents to have conversations with their kids about what is appropriate, and if Harry Potter is appropriate, and they're okay with it, then I'm happy with like the kids reading the books. And they often will talk to me about it and share parts of the story that they love. And it just leads to great conversation between myself and the kids. And it gives us a really good connection point. Yeah, and I think the kids also appreciate that I've read a lot of the youth novels that they enjoy and they can talk about it. And yeah, so that's kind of my approach. And I haven't had any pushback yet, so... Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, it gives a sense of breadth and options available for students. And I love that you have this just a sense of a disclaimer right at the beginning, but it's here and it's available. And yeah.
And I think that's an important approach just in life because
exactly.
we're all different. We all have different things that affect us. And some families prefer to keep that more out, but others may say, okay, read it and let's talk about it together. You're really interested. Okay, what are some of the great parts of this book to celebrate and enjoy? And what are some of the things that we need to be careful with and be thoughtful of and recognize that this is maybe not something we would go after? Like, okay, they have wands. We don't need to go looking for wands and like look into witchcraft and all of that, right? So just...
And when has that happened? Yeah. Like, are there documented cases of voodoo practice or whatnot because of Harry Potter? Like, it's kind of like the violent video game analogy, which, like, I'm not saying that violent video games are great, but I don't necessarily know that they cause... XYZ, you know what I mean?
Right.
Same thing with Harry Potter.
Exactly.
But that's maybe not the worry of some people. They don't worry that their student or their child is going to turn into a witch. But I would hope, well, that's it. If that is a fear, I would hope that would be put in its place quite quickly.
So you mentioned that you haven't actually received much pushback or this being an issue in your context. I'm just interested in the school that we teach, we don't celebrate Halloween.
Right.
And that is always sort of this big, I mean, just the conversations I've had with students about that and sort of just the blanket sort of ban on that and whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, so that, I find that fascinating. Hardly any pushback and we don't do Halloween. What do you make of that?
That's a little bit confusing. I know I have students in my class who don't celebrate Halloween and they'll give out candy to others. But also those students are not the ones who choose to read Harry Potter. So I, like just thinking of a few right now, I haven't seen them with the books that are in my class on their desk. But the ones who do celebrate, I see them with the books. So, I mean, maybe it's good that we just have the open conversation up front. Yeah, we don't talk much about Halloween, though, even in my class on the day of. Like, it's, yeah.
I put up a Halloween scripture this year.
Of course you did. What was it?
On All Saints Day, or it might have been the day after Halloween, or maybe it was on that Halloween day. And I have a really whiteboard outside of my classroom, and it has a morning message on it.
Oh,
and on it, I wrote, "Happy Halloween." And underneath, I said, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." John 1:5.
Mm-hmm.
And I think on the inside, I might have even done one that we haven't been given a spirit of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pretty proud. I'm like, I just found some Halloween Bible verses.
You sure
did. Quite literally. So, and then we talked about how Halloween actually started and whatnot.
Yeah.
But yeah, and maybe I shouldn't have done that. Maybe someone wouldn't have liked that I did that. But I think when we look at, the gospel, and then when we look at Harry Potter as well, darkness is defeated.
Yeah.
praise God. And I don't see why we can't celebrate that on October 31st also.
It just makes me think of Simon Gow and his family and what they do on Halloween with Broadway Church. They all go out in their community.
Do you want to explain who Simon Gow is?
Simon Gow is a pastor at Broadway Church, and I check him out on like Facebook and Instagram, follow him. And one of the things he does on Halloween with his family is they go to Tim Hortons and they buy a whole bunch of donuts, I believe, and like coffee, hot chocolate, and they set up a little table outside on their grass, and they go out into their community and they meet their neighbors because all of their community is out on Halloween. And they're literally the light in the darkness, loving people, inviting them to church. And I think that's beautiful. And I think that's what we should be doing. And I don't think we should just be afraid and hiding. And yeah. Right?
It really is brilliant. I resonate with that because it turns so frequently Christianity is something, is a state of beliefs that we are against.
Yeah.
Here we have someone who's walking outside and not saying, here's what I'm against. It says, here's what I'm for. I'm for loving you. You know what I mean? I don't have a sign up that says Halloween is evil and I'm against Halloween and you should be too. I'm bursting into the scene, into the neighborhood. I think even in the Message translation, it's all, John 1 is all about God moved into the neighborhood, mm-hmm. which like see our neighborhood and darkness as you may personify it. Moving into the neighborhood and saying, here, I'm actually for love. Nice to meet you. That's cool. Harry Potter is often censored. And growing up, I wasn't allowed Harry Potter. It was actually because I now teach at the school that we teach at, I now teach at the school that I went to.
There you go.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
And what you're doing in having the Harry Potter books on the shelf was not allowed by any means from the year 2000 to 2013.
Breaking rules.
Yeah. So or progressing, I guess.
Progressing.
So for me, I see like an undoing of censorship. And I also, even like I think there was, this is hilarious. There was even some conflict about Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe with some families. I remember just that for the same reasons, which is just absolutely hilarious because it's a pure allegory. It's like.
There are university classes where you can study the allegories.
Right.
Of Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe or the whole Chronicles of Narnia.
Totally.
And the Bible.
Yeah.
Right.
So but here the problem that pervades is censorship. So I'm just curious with you, maybe it's not something you've thought about too much, but really taking a stand against a Harry Potter censorship. What are some of your thoughts?
Well, I think that students should be reading grade appropriate and like age appropriate texts. And I guess I've always wondered why Harry Potter, because it's not in our library, I don't think, right?
But all the Left Behind are, by the way.
Oh, indeed. And are the Hunger Games in our library? I think they are.
I'm not sure. And those are violent.
They are children fighting to the death, right? So we have that. And I believe we have all of the Percy Jacksons, which are all about Greek gods.
False gods.
So it's okay to have false gods. It's okay to have children fighting to the death, but we're not allowed something labeled witches and wizards, which actually really parallels a lot of like, well, some Bible themes. And there are Bible verses in the books as well. On tombstones, there is like references to different verses that I can't remember right now. So I don't know. I haven't thought too much about censorship. I just think it's important for students to be reading what's appropriate for their age and that parents are involved in the conversation and that they pick books that reflect their values. And recognizing that we shouldn't be afraid. We should have conversations. And I think that's what's most important.
You're really fostering a sense of responsibility in your students, I would say, to say to them, there are these books here, and you need to take the responsibility of talking to your parents and deciding if it's for you.
Yeah.
Right?
That's important because they need to learn to make their own decisions. And you can't create good decision makers by not giving them the chance to choose what to do. So we discuss that constantly. You need to practice it early.
I'm going to tattoo that one on my eyelids. I love that.
Alfie Kohn. Alfie Kohn read that in his book.
So you sound like you love books.
Indeed.
What else are you reading?
Well, right now I'm really trying to finish a book called When Helping Hurts. I'm not very good at reading actual books with pages. I'm much better at listening to audiobooks. Whenever I'm driving places, whenever I'm like cooking dinner, trying a new recipe, I listen to books as I'm doing those things. So I've recently just finished all of the books my students are reading for Lit Circles. So Maze Runner, Love Stargirl, Anne Frank. What's the other one? I can't remember the other ones. Skybreaker.
Giver.
Yeah, The Giver. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So I've got all those books that I just finished up by March. And also, I told Riley about this earlier. I was reading another book by Clive Cussler. So I accidentally stumbled upon him when I was looking for another book. And I just started listening and kept listening. So that was a good one.
Of the same title, right? Like the Clive Cussler book.
Yeah, so I was looking for a book called The Wreckers because I heard that would be a good one to read with my students. And instead, I found The Wrecker. And the first paragraph, they were talking about Garmisch-Partenkirchen in Germany. And I was like, oh, I was just there in the summer. I need to keep listening. What's this book about? And it was some like man adventure, but that's fine. It was entertaining, so I listened to it, and then I read a second one, and yeah. So right now, that's about it for what I'm reading. Yeah, it's good. Do you want me to ask you some questions about Harry Potter now?
We would love it if you'd ask us some questions. Do you think you could make them multiple choice?
Possibly. Yeah. I might be able to. Okay, so should I explain what this game is?
Yeah, feel free.
Okay, so this is Harry Potter Trivial Pursuit. So there's cards with a whole bunch of questions and dice. So Riley's going to roll a dice, and the color that he gets corresponds to a question, and it will be a different topic depending on what he rolls.
It is fuchsia.
Fuchsia. So this question's topic is magic spells and potions.
How fitting. Wingardium Leviosa.
Ooh, and now this one, actually here we go. What type of spell does Hermione cast on Harry when they are caught by the Snatchers? You're going to have no idea what that is because you haven't seen all the movies, have you?
No, I have seen the first movie and read the first 2.5 books.
Okay, how about I flip to another one?
Okay.
Not that one. Not that one either. Oh, here. You won't know that. Oh, you might know this. Which spell does Luna use to fix Harry's broken nose?
So I'm going to make a fool of myself.
I'll give you options.
Yeah, is it Lumos?
Lumos creates light.
Oh, okay, so light in the nose. Okay.
Okay, I can tell you. Episky.
Oh.
Can't use Oculus Reparo either.
That was my second guess.
Oculus Reparo?
No.
Episky.
Yes.
Are you serious?
No.
No. Because that's also further along in the books. So
this sounds like you're speaking in tongues to me. I have no idea what's going on.
Indeed. No one likes playing this game with me because I usually beat them. So shows that I know too many things.
It's your turn to roll the dice.
No.
Flip
the table.
Fine.
I'm going to read one.
Oh, no. Here we go. Okay.
Okay.
My color is purple.
I'm going from the middle.
Okay.
Who is Narcissa Malfoy's sibling?
Ooh, Narcissa. I want to say Bellatrix Lestrange.
Bellatrix Lestrange!
Yeah!
Oh, we nailed it. Oh, okay. Come on.
Get some sound effect in there.
Ding, 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 ding.
Nice work. Okay, who's going to roll? Do you want to roll, Dave?
Dave. Roll, Dave.
It's your turn. Purple?
Purple again.
How does Harry Potter destroy Tom Riddle's diary?
Ooh,
I think that's from one of the ones that I read.
That's from the second movie.
Yeah.
You should know.
Here we go, Dave.
Dave doesn't know.
Cricket sound.
Do you know, Riley?
No. Well, I just saw the answer. So, yes, I do
know. With the basilisk fang.
The basilisk fang. Indeed. Oh, fascinating.
This is a whole new world. There is so much to learn.
And
it's so creative. I really like that the secret alley in London is called Diagon Alley. Like it's diagonal. Diagonale.
Okay, my eyes are so big. Because I know of Diagonale.
Diagonale.
And it is diagonal.
Yeah, alley.
Alley.
Yeah. Right. Whoa. Brilliant.
Have you been to the Universal Studios? No?
No. Bucket list? It's on my bucket list. But actually, it's not that high on my bucket list. Before that, I would like to go to the Warner Brothers studio in England. We were going to go in the summer, but then we just didn't have enough time to do like London and Germany and Austria and France. And so we skipped London and went for the better food. Even though I'm English. Yeah. Yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
Nice.
Very good.
Good.
All right.
So have we convinced you that you need to read the books now, Dave?
Everything from, I mean, the fact that I do love books to just even the sense of the depth of this world.
And very
I typically have not been drawn into fictional worlds to the same extent, but I am willing to give this a try.
Have you read the Lord of the Rings series?
Yes.
Did you?
Not the whole series, and mostly the films, but and then sort of worked a little bit in the first.
So do you enjoy fantasy and creative
not
worlds?
Not overly, no. This is why I've sort of, I mean, when you described at the beginning that you said you just weren't really interested.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that is has totally been my position. This just has not interested me.
Yeah.
Should I start books or
I think you should.
Books?
No, I think you should start books. And you should
books before films?
Well, the books are way better than the films.
There you go.
I think so. Yeah, you should.
Books it is.
And you could even like have pizza. Pizza and Potter. There you go. Like what I do with movies.
I love that. That's a great tradition. And the movies are held in such high esteem as well that the books are even better that's quite a compliment. Mm. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Would you mind if I plug some of the awesome stuff that you're doing online?
Oh, this is fine.
Oh, yeah.
Plug me.
Yeah.
Because I have awesome stuff. All right. Yeah, go for it.
You can find Ange on Twitter at Ange Feulbrandt. That's a great last name. Feulbrandt.
Well done.
And I didn't even need to look.
You didn't even look.
I did.
Because you're
looking
German.
Right at you the whole time.
Well done.
And she has an awesome blog where she's talking about some of the cool stuff in her classroom, and that's westcoatsteaching.blogspot.com.
Indeed.
If you enjoyed our conversation in terms of faith communities and education, faith and learning, you're going to want to subscribe to our podcast. You can do that on whatever app you listen to. You could also give us a great review if you enjoyed today's podcast. We were really just starting out. This is episode 20, which is awesome, but we do love it when others share our work and we can continue this conversation. If you want to get in touch with us, we'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Twitter, which is @notmanyofyou. And finally, we have a website. Come on.
Woo!
That's where you can find all our show notes. We're building our resources there, and that is www.notmanyofyou.com.
Nice.
All right. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.